Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
Hello and welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. We are focusing on our nation today with an eye on the volunteer state with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, special guest, James Barth. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcasts and socials at Mill Creek View, Tennessee. While you're there, please subscribe. Welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. Today, we are talking with Jim Barth, former Laramie, Wyoming citizen, New Erin, Tennessee resident. James Barth has a patriotic love for this country that cannot be compared to any other. He has a love for God and will always state God first. As this nation was founded on Christian Judeo principles and holds dear the formation of our country as one nation under God, he is not a politician nor a part of the law enforcement system that has been in place for many years. He is part of the constitutionally aligned people of the United States that are sworn to defend and uphold the Constitution. A disabled veteran of the Army, he has worked with the law enforcement community in many different capacities, including being a certified post-law enforcement chaplain and chaplain of Georgia Homeland Security. He is an InfoSec specialist, where he is the team lead of a team of 24 subject matter experts in InfoSec security worldwide. He has worked with the FBI and DOJ and other agencies of the federal government to instruct them in the practices of InfoSec and DFIR, digital forensic incident response technologies. We'll talk a little about that too. He lived in Laramie County for almost 10 years. When he moved to Tennessee, past guest Darren Gobe and founder Restore Liberty, who endorsed him for sheriff, asked him to be the director for Restore Liberty for All Tennessee. He is married and has four children. Hello, Jim. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
My pleasure. Oh, thank you. I hope I did you justice. All right. Now, you've lived all over, and now you live in Erin, Tennessee. How are you liking Erin?
Erin, Tennessee is a very different pace. It's slowed down a little bit. It's in the traditions of the South, if you will. Very home southward bound, if you will. When I was in the military, stationed down south quite a bit. And as such, this is home. So it's nice to be here.
Great. Slowed down from Cheyenne. Wow, that must be a real slowdown. I think Wyoming and Tennessee are neck and neck in terms of tide for most conservative voters. What have you seen in Tennessee that makes it more or less red than Wyoming?
Well, of course, Wyoming has a far less populous, about 600,000 people in the entire state. Tennessee makes that they have much more voters. As such, a lot of the Southern values here tend to ring true with a lot of the folks as well. Since we're in the Bible Belt, a lot of the Bible principles tend to hold true. So one thing that tends to be a big fight, which you probably have seen lately, is some of the LGBTQ type things that have been going on, where you have the performers, if you will, performing in the county libraries and whatnot, reading to children. That's been banned, and some of the books as well. So that's been part of our fight as well.
Yeah. So you are the state of Tennessee director for Restore Liberty. Restore Liberty is both a nonprofit 501c4 and 501c3 organization committed to restoring the original intent of the United States. How are you finding Tennessee's legislature constitutional adherence compared to Wyoming?
Well, it's interesting, I'll put it that way. It's what we've come up to find with, I had my first introduction of what a RINO truly was back in Wyoming, where you have a lot of people that were Democrat, and the only way they could get on a ticket was to put themselves in under a Republican name. That was pretty heavy there, and a move to Tennessee found some similarities. However, you've got some true, strong, we'll call them conservatives here, I think stronger than even in Wyoming, to where they hold that line and they've held it for a long time. And so they're willing to take on the fight. So it's interesting because Along with that, I think apathy is a big thing. And as such, it was huge in Wyoming. And I guess it's more noticeable with less people, but it's still a big thing here as well.
Yeah. And we have counties here in Tennessee that didn't register 5% of the vote last time of eligible voters. So apathy is certainly a thing. And I think there's some complacency because they think it is red and their red values, if we just want to generically call them such, Judeo-Christian values, are going to be represented. And then they realize, wait a minute, how did we get here? They are not. I also find the county sheriff to be the last thin line of protection against the state for its citizens and our federal government, and sometimes state government, against any constitutional rights encroachments they might try. Is that why you ran to push back on Cheyenne and DC infringements?
That's absolutely one of the reasons why, because one of the last dying breeds, if you will, are the true sheriff. Sheriff was put in line to be the chief law enforcement officer of his or her county. And as such, it is stated that they even in their county hold more power than the president of the United States. And simply meaning that the sheriff doesn't take their direction from a president, governor, senators, congressmen, city council, mayors, nobody, other than the people that they work for. So the sheriffs were put in place back a long time ago. It even goes back to old English times. But for instance, if you look at the United States, there's 3,066 sheriffs across the United States. Out of that, 1,088 consider themselves to be true constitutional sheriffs, meaning they will hold the line up to and including their life to defend your liberties. I took that very same pledge, aligning myself with them. You know them as like Sheriff Lamb out of Arizona, Sheriff Mack, he runs CSPOA. Then you also have others like Sheriff Clark, he's retired now, but there's several others.
There are Fortney in Washington in Snohomish County where Steve is, yep, that is that. Now, why wouldn't it be 100% of them? Why only about half or about two-thirds you just mentioned?
That is a great question. And the question is politics absolutely corrupts, if you will. And part of the problem, our system was set up for us to be a constitutional republic. And us to be a constitutional republic had a lot of rights and a lot of responsibilities as well. That being, our founders put in there the 9th and 10th Amendment for that very same reason, to show that people are the ones who retain their power under the 9th. And then the 10th states that whatever is not defined in our Constitution is yours to keep and your states to define. Now, unfortunately, a lot of sheriffs got a lot of pressure. And here's where the pressure came in. You accept a grant from the federal government for, let's say, that new jailhouse or these new vehicles or speed sensors or whatever the case could be. That grant does not come for free. It comes with a cost. And that cost is anytime the feds decide that they're going to come into your county, and let's just make something up, to go after, say, the Mennonites or the Amish in your community that sell egg, cheese, butter, all that type stuff. So they will send in the USDA, the ATF, and the FBI to place a warrant on these poor Amish farmers and tell them what you're doing is illegal. But they've done so without a warrant. They've done so without a representation of the courts. They just turn around and say, we're the feds, you deal with it. But there are sheriffs, like there's one that's back up in Wyoming. He's deceased now. But he actually started this constitutional movement where he stood in line. He was out of Teton County up there and said, no, not my county. First of all, your warrant, you don't have one. Second of all, unless you get off this property now, my deputies will arrest you and your government agency will be coming to pick you up. Now, the beautiful part about that is he meant what he said, said what he meant, and he pushed it and he won. So this started a little bit of a movement across the nation again. Why sheriffs don't do it is, I will just say it simply like this, same thing I'd say to all the rest of them. They're spineless. They have a constitution that gives them the power to do that, and they are standing there for the rights and representation of their people. More sheriffs need to stand in line with these constitutional sheriffs, because we may very well see a need for it in our lifetime where they'll wish that sheriff had stood for them, and not taking that grant money to align with the government.
Yeah, you didn't mention like Joe Arpaio in Arizona, who fought back so diligently, and then things like Ruby Ridge and Waco, Texas, and Elian Gonzalez in Florida, for those who have long memories and can remember. Some of those things couldn't have happened if the sheriff of that county had stood up and said, not here. And for those
Dave Mattis was the sheriff from Wyoming. That's who it eluded me. But yes, you are correct about the other sheriffs.
All right. For those that don't know, probably most listening to this, in Wyoming last year, Sheriff Danny Glick announced that he would not run for re-election after nearly 20 years on the job. Hollingshead, a 26-year veteran of the sheriff's department and current detention captain, Reed, I think is how you pronounce it, W-R-E-D-E, a 21-year veteran of the Cheyenne Police Department, and former Cheyenne Police Chief Brian Kozak, who served in the position for 11 years, were the remaining candidates for sheriff after you had to unfortunately leave for health reasons. A, are you feeling better now? And B, who won?
Well, yes, I'm feeling better. I just had surgery yesterday, as a matter of fact. So
thanks for coming on with us.
So wouldn't have it any other way. So to give you an idea, Don Hollingshead, you're correct, was the jail captain for 26 years. And then you had Jeff Barnes was running against Brian Kozak. So you had Jeff Barnes, Kozak, he had a Democratic candidate, but out of that, Brian Kozak ended up winning.
Brian Kozak, okay. And will he do a good job?
In my opinion, no. He is a closet liberal. He's aligned himself in the past with the Anti-Defamation League, Southern Poverty Law Center, Black Lives Matter, and in a small town of Cheyenne, Wyoming. To align yourself with something like that is just, it's horrible, because in my opinion, Don's opinion and Jeff Barnes's opinion, which we've all gotten to be close after this, all life matters. And as all life matters, to sit there and put a twist on it to empower any one race, we're all the human race, but we were to serve all these people. So Brian, in my opinion, and I hope he's listening, no, he is making a horrible sheriff.
So Wyoming is supposed to be a red state, red voters. How could a Brian like that rise to the top and actually win?
Well, that's a little bit of a complex answer, but I'll try to pull it down just as quick as I can for time. Cheyenne, Wyoming has, like you said, a populace of over, not Cheyenne, Wyoming itself has a populace of over about 660,000, I think that's what it is. That's what the number is. So Cheyenne has a whole populace of about 66,000. That's the capital city of Wyoming. So Laramie County consists of 2,260 square miles. And out of that, you're residents of Laramie County, which the voter database was at around, in the surrounding county, about 18,000. So you have 18,000 out there in the outlying areas. The major populace was within the city. Now, Brian was the ex-police chief. I'll say he failed police chief. He was fired from his job in Cheyenne. Then decided he was going to take off all over the country to try to apply for other police positions. They didn't want him either. He came back to Cheyenne. So once he came back to Cheyenne, he had a name that people recognized as being the police chief. Mm. And so as he ran for sheriff, your big populace, your voting area, came from Cheyenne proper itself. So when I was running, I had a lot of people on my side that were really, yeah, we need somebody in there. We can't allow him to win. When I got sick, I tried diverting that over towards Jeff Barnes and Don Hollingshead in order to try to help them out, which it came close between Jeff Barnes and Brian Kozak, really too close. It should have been for his comfort. But what happened is again, name recognition, and the man all of a sudden decided somehow he came up with this huge amount of money to be able to put billboards everywhere. Well, as we know, when people go to the voting booth, they're going to, you know, first thing they think about is that name they last seen. And that's how it came about.
Interesting. But as we've seen, you know, they tried to recall Sheriff Fortney and several of the surrounding King County sheriffs in the past. And we just saw a miracle of miracles. The mayor of Chicago has lost third place in an election. So there is a potential that Cheyenne could figure it out and correct their course. You had said during the campaign It is time to take back our country, even if it means one county at a time. There is no reason or cause that would allow the federal government to overstep their bounds and take away your God-given constitutional rights. So help me God, not on my watch. So we're pretty sure Brian Kozak won't do that. What are you seeing here in Tennessee in your county? Will they do that?
No, not my county. My sheriff here that we have in Houston County is Kevin Sugg. I'll give a shameless plug here for him. And he is a true constitutional sheriff. As soon as I arrived, it seemed he and some of the others gravitated towards me to say, hey, can we talk with you? And so I started interviewing them. What do you know about the Constitution? What does it mean to you? And sadly, some of the other candidates really don't know what the Constitution really means. One of my first primary questions I ask them is, if I was to ask you what had the most importance in this state, the U.S. Constitution or the Tennessee Constitution, which would you choose? And they always say, oh, the feds, of course. And I say, wrong. Because your state constitution gives you the sovereignty in this state to hold back the federal government against that overreach. And so Kevin knew the answer immediately. He'd been with law enforcement for a number of years, but he's been a very good sheriff.
Okay. Well, Wyoming is also unique. They have one congressman to represent those 600,000 people. What happened to Wyoming's sole congressperson and former Vice President Dick Cheney's daughter in the last year? Did Trump break her brain?
Some broke her brain. I don't know that it was Trump. She absolutely went nuts. And the whole thing about it, when she started going for the impeachment of Donald Trump, that's fine. You can have your opinion. But when she started taking on people saying, well, because you're at the January 6th event, we'll call it that, they decide that all of a sudden, Dick Cheney and his daughter, Liz, are in charge. We work for them. They don't work for us. And so they wanted to call it an insurrection, which was a sad representation, because if you look at the Declaration of Independence, it very clearly states that when these things become tyrannous to this nature, it is our duty and obligation to overturn it and set it right. And those people that sit there in Washington and try to call this an insurrection couldn't have been more mistaken, because had it been a real insurrection, we'd still own it. But the problem is, it's our house.
There were no guns.
Now, I'm not advocating people to bust police lines, knock over barriers, any kind of thing like that. That's wrong. But to be there in presence, the FBI was tracking people because they had the means to do so through geo-tracking, and they weren't even in the Capitol, but because they were there. Liz Cheney decided to take that as a chance to blow up on the American people and turned around and blew up on the people of Wyoming. When people would ask her about it, she'd say, that's my choice. You don't like it, deal with it. Well, we dealt with it.
That's right. And I've read a book or two on revolutions and insurrections. I've never heard of one without any guns, and there were none on that day. Is her family name, political career in Wyoming politics over, or just on pause?
I think so. There's been a talk of her having aspirations to run for president. I think that would be a failed and much failed attempt. But here's the biggest problem with the Cheney family. They aren't really residents of Wyoming at all. They own big farmland up there and a big ranch up by Jackson Hole. But she is actually a resident of Virginia. She has no idea what the pulse of Wyoming is. She's never lived through a winter like the rest of us have, to where last winter, the average wind speed, and I'm not kidding, most of the winter, was 95 miles per hour for at least 6 hour stretches of time.
Wow.
To deal with that takes a special breed of people. And, you know, my wife loved it there, but last year when I got sick, it was just too cold. It was just too cold. So I said, let's go home. So otherwise I'd still be there, because I could have ran and, you know, stayed in there. But the hunting is fantastic. The scenery is fantastic. The climate in the winter is not so fantastic, but the summertime weighs that out. But Liz Cheney was so out of touch with Wyomingites that she was clueless. Now, I've met Harriet Hageman several times. She's a really nice lady. She seems like she'll do a good job The one thing that worked against her in the beginning was her close relationships with the Cheney family. But I think she's since proven otherwise because she's been very outspoken about the freedoms for Wyoming.
Yeah, I can't imagine if 600,000 people live in Wyoming, they don't all have some connection to the Cheney family, especially if they get into politics. Sadly, I think a lot of politicians in the so-called conservative movement in red states, South Dakota, North Carolina, Montana, and even Texas, are really rhinos and not in favor of our issues. Do you agree they've shredded the Constitution along with the left?
I do. And it's shameful to say that all the veterans that bled, signed a check, bled, and some died for that Constitution, uphold it. I believe we're almost at the point of too far over the cliff. It's going to take people to stand up, stand strong, stand with me in order to do this and quit saying, well, there's somebody that'll do it. Surely somebody else will do it. It's going to take the same sacrifices that our founding fathers had in the beginning. Many of them gave up not only their lives, but the ones that survived, their whole livelihood in order to give us what we've got today. The Constitution has been shredded. It's been trampled on. It's been stomped on. And I'll go out a little bit on a limb here too. The people from California and Colorado who have turned around and largely turned this blue wave that smashed across the United States have decided, well, they've had enough now because it got a little too blue and brought it to places like Tennessee, Wyoming. And they're starting to turn try to turn the scales to blue. Now, Tennessee, this last assembly meeting where they had the legislators, they really started to put the teeth back into it again, too. Tennessee's making the news again with holding hardline laws. Yeah. And that's rightfully so. And I wish Wyoming would do the same thing.
Yeah, it is tipping the scales a little more towards Tennessee being more conservative than Wyoming. You're right. And that purple wave is a real thing. Believe me, I am well aware. every time I get a question, where are you from? I say Washington or California. If I go back to my early roots, and they all say, well, don't vote that way. And I said, don't worry, you got 1 out of 100 that's on your side. Now, your goals in Tennessee with Restore Liberty are to get people to pick up a copy of the Constitution, understand the Constitution, and know it as well as they know their favorite TV shows and lines they can recite, or movies where people can recite those lines. The Constitution is not hard at all and was written in clear English, but it and the Declaration of Independence were written for all men and women of all times. It was brilliantly written to show people what their inalienable rights are, inalienable meaning. They are not given or granted by politicians, presidents, governors, city councils, etc., and so on, but instead they are your rights freely as granted by God Almighty from your lips to God's ears. But I bet it's not easy doing that. How are you doing it, and how's it going? And do people understand that the Bill of Rights are really our freedom from our own government, not a right the government is granted to do to us?
Well, that's where people start to get it wrong, because it's a constitutional republic. Our Constitution gives you what's list as your inalienable rights. And it lists what they call the top inalienable rights. They're not given to you by government. They're not given to you by man. Those are the rights that you're born with. And the reason they're defined in this Constitution to such degree that they are, because they're limited and defined in the states. Anything not spoken about or defined in these are yours to keep. And what the politicians tend to forget is this power trip that's ever so prevalent in communistic and socialist countries, to where you are the property, if you will, of the communist country, the socialist country, et cetera. And that's where you see a big amount of push being had here in the United States, where they don't teach civics class anymore in school. They don't teach any of these classes in school. So people, when you ask them about the Constitution, have you read it? The first thing they'll say is, I can't understand it. It's way too much. It's a very small book. It's very well written. And the ones that do say they understand it are the same ones that are trying to shove leftist ideas down your throat and tell you it needs to be changed. We need to change it. That was written by old men in ponytails. Well, wrong again. those men were in their 20s. Yes, they had ponytails, but there were wigs, but they were in their 20s, and they wrote this to be, it was genius. Nothing had ever been written like that other than the Bible, because they first prayed to God and said, let's go ahead and put this together, and it just laid it out beautifully, the groundwork for our country. It's not outdated. It's very, it's a living document. And people that say,
I think people confuse it a lot with the National Register or a law book or even, you know, some of these thousand page omnibus bills, thinking it's that, but they don't understand that. No, it's thinner than the TV guide, if people remember what that was. And as you say, written in plain language where people can understand. And they're actually called negative rights, which I know confuses a lot of people, but it means the government can't do something as opposed to the government can do something. We've had Tina Tobin on here from Restore Liberty as well. What are you doing with Restore Liberty now specifically? Anything?
So what I do is I attend, of course, some open meetings, but then we do it over Zoom as well. But I actually work with our legislators here. I'm trying to reach out to different ones throughout the state of Tennessee. Presently working with two right now to endorse them. And the third would be to endorse Marsha Blackburn, just based on her conservative stance. So I've been quite busy right now working with, you've probably seen in the schools or these talks of books in the schools where they talk about, they're called grooming, I'll just put it that way, where they talk about what it means to be an LGBTQ plus, how to transform your body to go from male to female, even some books that talk about sex between a full-grown adult and a child. And these are books within the schools. So Tennessee passed a law back the beginning to put on the books this year, 3917902, which made it a criminal offense for schools to have these obscene material books in the schools. Now, this is where it gets ugly. The law is specific, but the schools have decided to skirt that by saying, well, we have school boards that have determined that this is not obscene. Well, what do you mean it's not obscene? Obscene is very clearly applicable here, because when you start talking to sexual content to the degree that they are, this does not belong in a school. If a parent wants to buy that for their kid off Amazon, although I'd have questioned their parenting skills, you knock yourself out, do it. If that person wants to do it past the age of 18, do it. But in the meantime, while a child is developing and growing, keep it out of the schools. So this is where I've been involved with, is going to school board meetings, speaking out on these, and of course, catching the hatred of the LGBTQ communities, school boards, you name it, because this impedes their way of life. The one thing that we found common throughout the nation, though, is the teachers union and the library union, or the library groups, are very much intact with doing this, which, by the way, they're also subject in matter of, as we spoke of earlier, Anti-Defamation League, Southern Poverty Law Center. There's a connection all the way around on this.
Yeah. I also had Lieutenant Commander Darren Gobe, I think is how you pronounce it, of Restore Liberty on to tell us about what he's doing in Montana. They endorsed you for sheriff. I said that in the opening. How'd that conversation go to get you hooked up with them here?
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Gobe, oddly enough, we were talking in the early days, so I remember seeing his website, and he was getting ready to do a meeting in Kansas City where they had the World War I Memorial, and they wanted to have a big rally there. And he said he was needing some help. So I quickly started trying to organize, trying to get a hold of people, and I did, to see if we could get an event scheduled there. That fell through for the date. So then we started talking about trying to get to Washington, D.C. But the National Park Services started putting binders up, or boundaries up for us. We couldn't get in there. And so, you know, I reported back to him, and he says, well, you know, I'm coming through Cheyenne. I would like to be able to visit with you. I did. We spoke for maybe 5 minutes at a roadside gas station. He really liked me. And then a little bit later, when I said I was running for sheriff, I just happened to remember him. And I said, hey, Well, I'm interested to see what you guys do with local candidates. Would you be interested in endorsing me? And he says, I already know you. He said, I know about you and your tenacity with trying to help us. He says, I'm on, you know, we're in. So that's how we got involved.
Wow. And you get to meet people in positions of public office who wish to stand constitutionally for doing what our nation was founded on. For example, the fight against obscene book material at the state level here in Tennessee, at city council meetings, school boards, et cetera. Tennessee had a set of laws on the books under the criminal code. I think you just said this, 3917902, where it is illegal to have books in the schools of sexually oriented materials, but they are there. And that includes LGBTQ topics, sexual alteration, queer agenda, stories, et cetera. Who is working with you and who is working against you on that law that's already on the books? Bill Lee signed it. And you had some drag queen experience, which just moved out of committee to ban those, which I want to ask you, why do they just go after the liquor licenses of these venues willing to do this for minors instead of trying to make it a cultural issue about gender-specific laws or kids or anyway, giving the left the opportunity to say it's a, you know, a fascist thing, just make it age-appropriate?
Well, that's the key thing here. And I'll go in a little bit different order here to address the last thing, the drag queens. Why is it appropriate to have people dressed in scantily clothed things to read books to children? Last I looked, that was called a pervert. And there should be no reason to want to do this. I understand if you want to read a book, that's great. But my case is, if it's such a great thing, then why are people banning Kirk Cameron from, you know, trying to ban him from reading this, you know, not same books, but books in the school libraries when he brings a wholesome picture? He does not bring any kind of twisted agenda to it. So the drag queen thing, if somebody wants to go see that and they're age appropriate, knock yourself out. But do not take your child there. It'd be no different than you or I saying, okay, we're going to go down to the strip club and we're going to take our 10-year-old kid with us. It just doesn't work out. It'd be now back on these books. The laws are in place because there are laws in almost every state, but Tennessee has one that specifically called the Brown Label Law, to where Penthouse, Playboy, Hustler, all these type of books like this where you can find them are out of average eyesight. They've already calculated what the eyesight is, and they have a brown label over the book so that the child can't see inappropriate material. If we have enough on our books to do that, then why are we allowing inappropriate sexual books in our schools? With all that being said, it'd be no different than, again, any one of us saying, okay, I'm going to set up shop to go sell books, and I'm going to sell Hustler, Playboy, Penthouse to the school-aged children. I think we'd find ourselves pretty quickly in jail, though.
We've seen people reading right out of the books themselves to the city councils, and the city councils having to shut them down for being offensive to them, but yet the kids are allowed to do it, because we've had plenty of guests on here that explain that there's a lot of money in the book selling, and the teachers unions are complicit in that, probably 10% for the big guy. You said, I'll quote you, laws are passed around the country to keep firearms away from children under 21 years of age. The same should apply here. They want to make it 18. So you are at odds with some of the people helping you, I think, in Nashville. Nashville is where the capital is. Does that cause any problems, or is it not? Is 21 better than 18?
No, I believe in order, if you're old enough to join the military at age 18 and be able to bear arms against your country, I think that you're big boy, big girl, I'll put it that way, and able to own a firearm. I don't see a problem with that. The reason I said 21 was it seems to be a consensus across many of the states. And here's why they say that. Your mind isn't done developing until you're in your mid-20s.
Yeah.
This is what they're telling. So I thought, okay. Well, if it isn't done developing in your mid-20s, why are you putting this inappropriate material in school libraries as low as grade school? And so I throughout the I'm not at odds. I know it sounds like by saying 21, I use that as a reference point, but 18, I believe, like I said, if you're old enough to go off to war for your country, you're old enough to own a firearm, And you know, none of this nonsense where somebody says, oh, one's an assault rifle, one's another. It's nonsense.
Yeah, they make the same case for alcohol consumption. You know, if you can go to war at 18, why can't you have a beer? But I get it. But you are busy. Also involved with working with a group called American Voter Alliance under Phil Klein and a group called AMISTAD Amistad. Who is Phil and what are American Alliance and Amistad?
All right. Phil Klein is a lawyer. Trying to think of the state that he's out of right now. It just eluded me. But he runs a law firm and he has some different people with him. One of them is Timothy Griffin, who runs these meetings. Timothy Griffin actually pulls the information together to where you have people like Senator Patrick Colbeck from Michigan. You have some other senators from around the country that are part of this group. Ex-attorney generals from Arizona is another one. You have lawyers from Arizona, Texas, I mean, all over the United States. We got together and they asked, what can people find out about Dominion? What can you find out about ESNS? Well, because I have an InfoSec background, I dug in very heavily with the digital forensic side of it and started digging in and found out that there was a lot of areas where there was huge holes, but those holes actually applied across ESNS and Dominion. So we got involved with starting to look at where states would allow us the information that was the voting information that came through to be able to look at for the validity of it, make sure that it was, you know, proper information. Even had some people that were grabbing packet captures, which if you get caught with that, that can actually be a violation. You can actually say, well, the whole voting thing can actually be turned over because you're able to capture the packets. But the fact that the packets had information in them that was showing felonious activity from the voting machines, it really told a whole different story. So there's a lot of wheels at play in motion here with Amistad.
I'm actually very proud and a little bit stunned to say that you have listed, I mean, we'd call it name dropping, but that's not insulting because a lot of these people have actually been on my show, including Pat Colbeck, for those who remember, who've been with me a long time, who wrote the book, The 2020 Coup, about the stolen election of 2020, basically talking all about the cybersecurity flaws and holes and wireless connections when nobody else wanted to even think about it, aside from Tina Tobin and Gobe and a lot of, you know. So anyway, great. I'm glad we're all on the same page. Heritage, speaking of election integrity, heritage.org said Tennessee was number one for election integrity, but with a B-plus grade. Some would say a B. So best of a lot of bad voting machines because of the machines. We use machines here in Tennessee. That isn't going away anytime soon. What can you tell us about the future of elections?
Well, it needs to be fixed very quickly, too, because we have another election coming up. And when you can steal an election or use election machines to steal your vote, that becomes a huge problem that in other states affects us here in Tennessee. So what we need to do is these machines have to have all Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, Ethernet connections removed from them immediately. And I mean, they come through and the vendor will say, oh, we have to do this so we can push updates. No, you can actually do it if you do it the old-fashioned way by using a SIM card that you push in there, but you also have to have chain of custody that says, on such and such day, I put in this SIM card, push it in, and it remains in evidence. That is where your updates come from. That's one way to do it. But to have the exposure for Wi-Fi, there's no need for it. The second is Tennessee has a pretty decent chain of custody, but it's not great. And so the chain of custody means, let's say in Houston County, we have several of our districts here, and people come to vote. The voting tabulators have a removable hard drive on them. Those hard drives in Tennessee are meant to be part of the chain of custody, but it's not a very solid chain of custody. Meaning once you put them into the ESNS electionware machine, who's doing that updating? Who's, you know, up to the state? Who's doing the tabulating? All that stuff. It's not recorded. That's why we got a B plus. To where places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and even Wyoming have no chain of custody on those electronic hard drives. So if I turn over to you, for instance, 5,000 paper ballots, from one district and turns around and you have no way to verify that there's 5,000 paper ballots, well, then you have to basically accept that I gave you 5,000 ballots for that. So it is what it is. That's why Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, all of them got away with it because they've got no electronic backing on it. So in order to strengthen it across the United States, we have to have a solid chain of custody across all aspects. Remove all digital communications, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, Ethernet. We have to make sure that there are people there that are actually security, InfoSec people, monitoring this to look for any activity. Yes, it's going to cost, but look what it cost us when we don't do anything.
They're not going to do it. I was just at the Davidson County nominating committee meeting and there were 30 people there and they use machines. So it's ridiculous. And then we just bought them instead of leasing them here in Williamson County. We just spent $2 million to own these things, even though they're flawed all over the place. Okay. We got a few more minutes left. Just a personal question. Your hero is Nikola Tesla. Why so interested in him and how do you apply him to your life and work?
Tesla was an absolute paramount genius. He changed everything the way we communicate to electricity itself. Up until then, Edison said DC was the way to go, except it was causing fires in Menlo Park. Tesla came in with this crazy concept called AC, alternating current, and decided to show how to switch the poles so you could actually get a out-of-phase electricity, but it could actually deliver a safe way to deliver low current to a home. He also was into many other things, as you may or may not know, radar, sonogram, laser, all kinds of things. But one of the most important things that he was into was the magnet drive motor, which drove off Earth resonant frequency. That fascinated me. How could you create power off Earth resonance with a very low input and create a higher output? So between him and John Bedini, they took it. John Bedini came years later. But they created a magnet drive motor. John Bedini built it off some of the lost works of Tesla, completed those. And so I took some of those drawings and created a smaller scale. 9-volt battery would power this generator that would power 12-volt car batteries, recharge them on a pulse. And get this, it ran for 6 months. I recharged, I don't know how many 12-volt batteries. And at the end of the 6 months, I pulled the 9-volt battery off, stuck it back in my voltometer, and it was still just as good as it could be. So very low voltage. So all that to say this, there's a better way for us to do electricity. And no, it's not wind and solar because you can't produce enough. But if we could actually do this, we're good to go on this. We could really do it. Problem is, Tesla was killed. Is murdered. And John Bedini and his brother both ran that project. Both died of unknown causes hours apart from each other. So
ExxonMobil was not happy about that. I'm going to throw this last question out there. I don't know if you can answer it in 60 seconds, but let's just see. I know you're into cybersecurity. All our elections and cell phones and internet banking, are they safe from hackers? And were those China balloons that we shot down over Montana the real one, not the hobbyist balloons or weather ones? Were they capable of carrying an EMP?
Okay, cell phones are not safe, no. And the reason why is people want ease of use. So ease of use creates an open door for people. So there are ways to practice this, to create it where you can be safe and secure. People don't use it. The balloons very much should worry people because they carried all the equipment on board to monitor all the communications, everything that goes on. Now, you can do that from space anyways. But to do it from a balloon, yeah, that's and leave it unnoticed? Yeah, come on. Yeah. So, yeah, it's part of the bigger scheme of things. So
it looked like a big muscle flexing exercise in from where I was sitting.
There you go.
Jim, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you. We are at the end here. Please tell our listeners where they can go to find out more about you and follow your social media or anything.
Okay. So right now, if people would go to restore-liberty.org, they can actually find out about Restore Liberty. I have a Facebook page in Tennessee. It's Restore-Liberty, Tennessee. You can look it up, TN. You can also email me back right now. I'll give you my personal one while I'm trying to get my other email address worked out. But it's James_Barth, B-A-R-T-H, @bellsouth.net. the new address will come soon, and then I'll put it up on the Facebook site.
Great. Well, thanks again for coming on with us. Hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you. It's been great being on the show. Thank you very much.
Good luck. Welcome to the Stevie to Steve segment of our show, where we cover what we just heard. Producer Steve, what do you think of a guy who moved to Tennessee to save us from our own politicians? Our guest, Jim Barth.
Jim Barth, what a man. I was making a lot of notes, and we were talking about off air about some things, and I was like, man, you covered a lot of ground, and it's amazing, Steve, how many people you've had on in the months that we've been doing this that all align and all have connections with each other and are literally seeing the same thing. And there is a person that's put out he's got an organization that's county to county. I'll have to find it and give it on to you because he's exactly right. We're going to have to win back our country county to county. And it's activating those sheriffs and giving them the empowerment that they need to literally stand up and support us by supporting the Constitution of their states and the Constitution of the United States.
And, exactly right. And we're blessed to have been able to find them and that they exist, because if they were in the shadows or the silent majority, minority, whatever, we would never know. So we're lucky to have them. And he said very nice things at the end to us for being willing to even air these things. And that's what this is all about. We got another comment, this time on Rumble. I'm so thankful you took the time to write. This one from Find Freedom Network off episode 59. Find Freedom says, wow, 4,000 deaths from fentanyl in the state of Tennessee. This needs to be stopped. And thank you, Senator Blackburn, for your fight to try and let people know about what the Biden administration is doing. Yes, thank you, Senator Blackburn. That was a very good episode, sure to go viral. I hope you go back and listen to it if you haven't, and go ahead and add your comment. See, I read it. On some of these issues, she's the only voice in DC talking about it, just like Jim. Did you catch? She said we're in a cold war. That's pretty serious, folks.
It is.
And thank you, Freedom Network, for doing it. I think that's Dave M. Love you, brother. Okay. Ever wonder what other countries say about our commander in chief? Let's start with clip one.
Them found no sign of cognitive decline, none at all.
You know, our natural wonders inspire, and the reflection inspires our to take action. You know, America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping, traveling with him. Unless we traveled 17,000 miles when I was vice president. I don't know that for a fact.
A solid meeting they make a very good point. Here's the deal. Here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the goal, you know the thing.
Know the thing that Joe Biden has been cognitively sound for years. I mean, only a perfectly sane man in peak physical and mental condition would recount a story like this.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did. And back in those days, to show how things have changed, one of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. In those days, you used to remember the straight razor, you'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty. I got hairy legs that turned blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
I'm sorry.
I think he still does.
I'm sorry. Yes, no man has ever been better equipped to lead the United States, and indeed all of the free world, and the current commander-in-chief. We're in good...
Yes, I think we are in a clown show, Steve.
Yeah, so that's Australia. So it's not just me in little old Middle Tennessee. Yes, so, okay, on with the show. I think all this CRT and BLM is starting to have a real-world impact. I can't be sure, but I see things like this, and it makes me wonder if the media, academia, our politicians, and culture, both upstream and downstream, are taking hold. I don't know. I hope not. But listen to this.
What are white people superior at?
What exactly are white people superior at?
They're real good at violence.
Violence.
Genocide. It's like stealing people's lives just because they feel like it.
If you are white and you know this is happening and you say nothing, then you're a killer too.
What exactly are white people superior at?
Insecurity. Pretending.
Fear. Being fearful of nothing.
Being ignorant.
Blame.
Letting their egos control their every move. Superior at being dicks.
What exactly are white people superior at?
Oppression. Gaslighting.
Lack of empathy.
Intellectualizing oppression.
Did I say oppression?
What exactly are white people superior at?
Taking what's not there.
Taking shit.
Taking our ideas.
Copycatting.
Gentrification.
Appropriating things that do not belong to them.
Taking over other people's cultures and making you believe that they invented it.
Maybe they're thinking of it as repurposing. It's like recycle and repurpose.
As my grandma would say, the white folk, they'll take it if you don't copyright it.
They are very good at destruction of land, destruction of people, destruction of humanness.
Republican, whether you're Democrat, whether you're conservative, like, white people are really good at upholding white supremacy.
How about claiming that, you know, they are actually a whole separate race, when actually white DNA comes from the black female?
So what exactly are white people superior to?
Honey, lying, stealing, and cheating.
Manipulation.
Withholding information.
Lying.
Telling lies.
What are white people?
Well, I don't think that's just limited to white people. I think that kind of...
it's disturbing though, right?
Disturbing.
I mean, they're really good at white supremacy, white people, he said. I don't know. They're getting it from somewhere. Where do you think they're getting it, Steve? You think they're getting it from the TV or from a college professor when they were 17, 18 years old before their frontal lobes had become completely
fulfilled? Yeah, I think it's the ethos of a certain... Steve... We live in a clown world, as I said earlier. We live in clown world, and this stuff, I'm praying, will slowly float off into the... Wasn't the whole idea of Martin Luther King Jr. to get away from this?
Yes.
Now, under Obama and forward, it went backwards, prior, pre-Martin Luther
King. You're right. Yep. Nope. Race relations have declined ever since 2012.
Yep.
That can't be because of... John Adams and George Washington. Clip number three.
Now that we've kind of educated ourselves a little bit about the voting process and things and taken a look at the voter rolls, we did notice some issues in the voting process. To no fault of the registered voter herself or her team, but just the way the voting system is structured, we see quite a few flaws. You're able to register even if and cast a vote if you don't live in the country, as evident of his brother in Pakistan. And I think we have some evidence of two or three other people out of the country that voted. Is that correct?
Yeah, approximately two or three other people out of the country, as well as people residing outside of the district.
Okay. The online voter registration system, it seems to be an honor system. Anybody can put information in there to register and vote. All you have to do is click a box and say that you're not lying, and then you'll get an email from the Secretary of State or something in the mail saying thank you for registering to vote, and there you are. Once you're on the voter rolls, anytime an election comes around, guess what? You get mailed a ballot, right? You get mailed something to vote. So we found that a little bit problematic.
I would say it's just like somebody tries to get on porn. Are you 18 over? Of course I am.
That's right. That's a California sheriff. I've always wondered how Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and friends keep getting reelected. Well, now we know. Steve, your neighbor out there in Washington State, Bill Gates, can tell the future. Did you know that?
Because they have a script that they're writing ahead of time and they want it to fall into place. So they're following a crisis play that they've created already.
Listen to this. Clip four, please.
think, either naturally caused or intentionally caused, is the most likely thing to cause, say, 10 million excess deaths. As we've seen various flu scares come along, we haven't had a super good response. So the paradigmatic examples are smallpox for an intentionally caused thing, that there was a simulation called Dark Winter that didn't come out very well, i.e. smallpox scored one and humanity scored zero. Flu epidemics, where, you know, we always talk about the potential recurrence of a 1917-like Spanish flu problem. And then Ebola.
You're excited about the technology innovation that's going on around this sort of RNA area. Could you talk us through, you know, where we're at, how optimistic you are that we can really accelerate the process of getting a vaccine developed?
Well, there's no licensed product using these technologies. So they're still, in terms of immunogenicity, duration, some questions to be answered. You know, there's early animal data that shows real promise. And there's a lot of entities, government entities, our foundation and others, who've been working with the pharma companies and new entrants like Moderna and CureVac and saying, okay, what types of diseases would this work for? So if the platform comes along, it will be a valuable tool for the ongoing infectious diseases where we still have a gigantic burden. It'll be valuable for epidemics and potentially as a tool to limit the effect of bioterrorism. So it's very exciting. You know, I think it's too bad in a way that we had to have these epidemics to get us to move. But, you know, I'm going to the Munich Security Conference partly so that people, you know, I think bioterrorism is this scary thing, but potentially if people understand that the investments against bioterrorism, against natural epidemics, and to improve our situation on the diseases that are out there, that you can get sort of a triple benefit and not just vaccine, an epidemic.
Yeah, like a return on his investment.
Yeah, this video is exhibit A in any trial and serves as evidence that he was confident the plandemic would occur prior to its outbreak. So why did he decide to invest in BioNTech in September 2019? And why did Event 201, the John Hopkins Center for Health Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, hosted Event 201, a high-level pandemic exercise on October 18th, 2019? In New York, just before everything started. What are the odds? So, you know who can't tell the future? FBI Director Chris Wray. Or maybe it's the truth he has a hard time with. Clip number 5, please.
I have not found anything like that.
All right, so let's talk about the FBI and what you told Big Tech, or some agents did, about the authenticity and provenance of Hunter Biden's laptop. What about that from an FBI perspective?
The FBI does not and is not in the business of functioning as the truth police.
Understood.
So we don't tell social media companies to censor anything.
Well, or the Twitter file suggests something different. I mean, there was an FBI request numerous times. Taibbi puts it out, FBI San Francisco request to ban certain accounts. Twitter personnel in this case went on to look for reasons to suspend all 4 accounts that the FBI wanted to ban or suspend. Is it appropriate to flag social media accounts on Twitter or elsewhere due to politics or government policies when it comes to COVID? Is it appropriate in any way? You're saying it doesn't happen, but there's evidence that it had.
We don't tell social media companies to ban accounts.
But you suggest.
Tell social media companies about information that we have about foreign disinformation campaigns by foreign actors, by foreign intelligence services. And those companies then make decisions.
The investigation.
That is a, well, Steve, I'll let you talk.
Well, I think it speaks for itself. He's a liar. And he's the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Let's end the week on this one, clip number 6.
Yeah, that Ukraine might join a Western military alliance would be quite unacceptable to any Russian leader. This goes back to 1990, when the Soviet Union collapsed. There was a question as to what would happen with NATO. Gorbachev agreed to allow Germany to be unified and to join NATO. It's a pretty remarkable concession, with a quid pro quo that NATO would not expand one inch to the east. That was the phrase that was used.
So Russia has been provoked.
Well, what happened? NATO instantly moved to East Germany. Then Clinton came along, expanded NATO right to the borders of Russia. Now there are the new Ukrainian government, the government after the overthrow of the preceding one. The parliament voted, I think, 300-8 or something like that, to move to join NATO.
But you can understand why they would want to join NATO. You can see why Petro Poroshenko's government would probably see that it's protecting his country.
No, no, it's not protect. Crimea was taken away after the overthrow of the government, right? He's not protecting Ukraine, is threatening Ukraine with major war. Well, that's not protection. Now, the point is, this is a serious strategic threat to Russia, which any Russian leader would have to react to. That's well understood. The idea that...
Yep.
Leftist idol Noam Chomsky explains Clinton pushing NATO expansion, serious strategic threat to Russia's doorstep. What did Barack Obama say about Joe Biden? Ever underestimate his ability to F things up? They never tell you this part. Stay tuned for my thought of the week. Welcome to my last quote for the week. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast. Just go to Rumble or iTunes and hit the subscribe button and follow us. While you're there, leave a comment. And thanks for doing it. I am the constitutionally and legitimately elected sheriff, and I absolutely refuse to surrender my responsibility to the federal government. Joe Arpaio, former Arizona sheriff. Police officers put the badge on every morning, not knowing for sure if they'll come home at night to take it off. Senator from Arkansas, Tom Cotton. The duties of an officer are the safety, honor, and welfare of your country first, the honor, welfare, and comfort of the men in your command second, and the officer's own ease, comfort, and safety last. George S. Patton. Good people sleep peaceably in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. George Orwell. That's it for this episode. Really hoped you liked it. Thank you, Jim Barth, for standing ready. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper. Peace in our time.
Children and the pumpkins at the county fair. They were looking for America behind every turn, flying the very colors that so many love to burn. I'll cruise the countryside with my dad and my brother, row after row of cotton and corn, moving through this place just like rolling thunder. Lord, I love the land where I was born.
Any views or opinions represented on the podcast are personal and belong solely to the creator and do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the creator may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated.